for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, September the 2nd, 1990. Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. David Akers is the speaker of the morning. Certainly thank the Lord for the sweet presence of the Lord here amongst us this morning as we've gathered to worship the Lord and hear the word of the Lord brought to us. Brother David Akers, we just appreciate them and all their group coming up and helping us and ministering through song and through Brother Akers through the word, helping Linda with the music, and she appreciates that, and all of us do too. Brother David Akers, the blessing of the Lord upon you this morning.
Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. Amen, amen, amen. How many of you came expecting today? I did. I came expecting. How many of you are tired of being manhandled by the enemy? I am too. We're getting where we're going a step at a time. When I left home, I told you that the Lord had given me a scripture to come up here on. And it was in Numbers, the 22nd chapter and the 38th verse, the last part of it, where Balak said to Balaam, said, I will speak only the words that the Lord gives me. Now, normally, in homiletics or whatever, when you start to minister, if you start out, it goes on a straight line. It's predictable with where you're going, not only where you're going, where you are, and where you've been. So if you have trouble figuring out where I'm going, or where I am, or where I've been, hold on, I'll hit your nails soon enough. Because I'm going to swing that hammer, and I'll say something that'll help set you free. And I want you to understand I'm concerned about nothing else other than ministering the love and mercy of God to you. You hear me? I'm not interested in you ever remembering my name. I'm not interested in anything else. We don't have tomorrow. I've already used up yesterday. I've only got right now. So I'm interested in how I interact and touch your life by the anointing. You hear me? By the anointing. Because it is the presence of the Holy God that changes your life. I'm going to talk to you briefly, then I'm going to give you a word of my personal testimony, and then we're going to see what God does. Amen? I'm going to try to get us out of the way pretty quick where God can get on the scene. Amen? All right. Let's look just a minute. There was a scripture that came to my mind in, let's look at, I believe it's 2 Samuel. I don't know. We'll try it here. Give you a scripture here in just a minute. 2 Samuel 6:14. Praise the Lord. Praise the living God forevermore. Ma'am, whenever we go on the road, it's 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 14. Whenever we're on the road, it would suit me fine to have that lady with us just to pray. She said something that really, you know, she began to pray for the families. You know, how many have ever seen a child that did not know where its mother or daddy were? They had been abandoned. And they have a single purpose in their mind, and that's to find out who my daddy is. Can any of you think of why? In the old days, which some of us have gotten smarter now, we quit doing that. They blessed their children. We blessed ours in the womb. The Bible says we do that, and I intend to do it. But those children that don't know who their mother and daddy are, there's a sense in them that God put there that it takes their daddy to bless them. And if they find him, regardless of rich or poor, there's a satisfaction that nothing else brings other than knowing who your daddy is. That's God built it that way. And that's by the same token, there's a yearning, there's a void and an emptiness in us that's never fulfilled until you find out who your daddy is. Who's your daddy? God is. God's your father. And that's why that you see people in the world trying, and Brother Glenn, it ministers to me every time you pray about the pleasures. They're trying to find their daddy in pleasures. They're trying to fill a void in their life, and they don't understand what it is. They just have not met their father. And when you meet Jesus, when he ushers you, when you become his brother, when you become kinship with him, then suddenly that void in your life is satisfied. Now we got to get going from there. Amen? There's people that will help you get saved, but they leave you right there. I'm going to tie some things together in just a few minutes, and we'll be about the way. It is my belief, and I'm not going to try to convince you of this. Just give me a break, okay? I'm just going to let you chew on it. We put the food out there, and you chew on it. In chapter 6, verse 14, I guess it'd probably help if I turned to chapter 6, wouldn't it? Make a lot of difference. I studied this in one Bible and reading it out of a different one. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 14. And David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with sound of trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Saul's daughter, looked through the window and saw the king David leaping and dancing before the Lord. She despised him in her heart. Huh? And they brought the ark, and they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in its place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. Now, back in verse 12, I believe it is, verse 11, and the ark of the Lord continued, this is in verse 11, in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Now, it's my belief, and I want you to understand, I'm not trying to start a new theology. I don't have to. There's plenty of them going around. It's my belief that that Ark of the Covenant, the anointing today, parallels that very closely. Very closely. That's why when Sister Mary got up here and prayed a while ago, she had the anointing on her. That's why that I can come up here in a three-piece suit or whatever. And I know there are some, I want you to listen to me, there are some denominations now that say you don't wear three-piece suits. That best out. You can dress me in a tote sack. How many of you know what a tote sack is? Okay. Croker sack. Croker sack, yeah. You can dress me in a tote sack and give me the anointing rather than dress me in the finest of threads and not have the anointing. I want that anointing. There were three things in that ark that are mentioned in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, I believe it is, in the 9th verse. One was the table of the law, the other was Aaron's rod, and the other was a pot of manna. The table of the law gave instruction, Aaron's rod was symbolic of authority, and the manna was of provision. Now, when that anointing rests on you, you have those three things. You have instruction, you have authority, you have provision. Nowhere in here, in there, does it say anything about a three-piece suit? Nowhere in there does it say about a Kanabe grand piano. Nowhere in there does it say Dino has to play it. Nowhere in there does it say anything other than those things. And it says that where the ark was, the Spirit of the Lord did abide. And that's what I want, the Spirit of the Lord. That's what I want, is the Spirit of the Lord. Now, as we do these things, we've looked here and seen how they move that, and in a type and shadow, and I might as well throw this in right now. How many of you ever heard the song, "The Holy Ghost Will Set Your Feet to Dancing"? Oh, the Holy Ghost will set it. It says, Michael through the window looked, and the criticized did start. She didn't know that David had got a dancing heart. Hallelujah. Now, David is a type and shadow, to the best of my understanding, of Jesus in the Old Testament. Guess who Michael is, a type and shadow of? She was a daughter of a king, the wife of a king. Sounds a whole lot like the church, doesn't it? Huh? Now, I'm going to tell you something. She despised David in her heart as he danced before the Lord. And there are churches that will despise you in their heart if you dance before the Lord. I have a problem with teaching dancing in church, okay? Y'all pray. Y'all, if you disagree with me, don't shoot at me. Pray for me. But I'm going to tell you what, when the Holy Ghost comes on, you'll dance. He'll teach you how to dance. And you won't have to have somebody up there telling you to put on your little tutu and dance on your tippy toes. When the Holy Ghost comes on you, I don't know what you'll do, but you will not care who's watching. You hear me? When the Holy Ghost comes on you, He'll teach you how to dance, and He'll do it in one lesson, and it'll last forever. And we don't need to have the instruction of this, and I'm not saying don't set an instruction. I'm telling you that when people are being defeated by the enemy, when they're dying and going to hell, they have sicknesses and everything all over their body, and we're teaching them, no, the little two-step. That's not going to get it. We need to be teaching you that word, and then the Holy Ghost will teach you to dance when the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Hallelujah. And that'll settle the issue. That's all there is to it. I have more important things to minister about other than dancing. But it grieves me when the Spirit of the Lord is upon someone and the church despises them. Amen. Now, there's another part to that verse. Michael despised him, and guess what? Ma'am? She was barren. Ma'am? She was barren. Period. You know any barren churches? You let an anointed man of God go in, and I promise you he'll be despised. You know why? Because they don't want to pay the price for the anointing. They do not want to pay the price for the anointing. I heard Benny Hinn make an interesting statement. He said, brother, the anointing is caught, not taught. He said, it's caught, it's not taught. And we cannot teach the anointing. God grants that. And what I want is to have the anointing on me. I want to have that anointing of the Most High and Holy God. We talked earlier about when I came in, there was a new thing. And Sister Darlene had a word over here, and Sister Linda ministered about it. And I had trouble finding my feet because they were saying, we had a word, Sister Darlene, at our ministry Wednesday night, that just like the one you gave here Thursday night. I said, God, I get the message. You're trying to tell me something. You know? And that's what we want. And that anointing there, and a new thing. We resist new things. Thank God not everybody did. We resist new things. And God says, I'm going to do a new thing. He may use the same old folks, but He's going to do a new thing. You know, we're here with a calling, with a purpose. And when we get through with it, then the Lord will... Yeah, I had some people tell me one time that I couldn't preach. Hey, they may be right. I got no problem with that. You know what my response was? Did God call you? If He did, why aren't you up here? And I'll sit back there. And you can teach me. A lot of times people complain that God called and they said, not now, God, I'm busy. And then He looks for someone with the availability, probably more than the ability, and the one with the ability complains. Well, he should have had a little availability and let God use him and minister through him. I'll tell you, there's some people that minister to me that I don't know their name. How many have ever seen an angel? That's right, raise your hand. I've seen one. I put up both hands. I've seen one. And I don't care who knows it. It blows some people's theology. You talking about it like to blew my mind. But that's all right. I felt that. And I'm not moved by what I feel, but neither am I one given to kind of off-the-wall things. I know what I saw. And people can talk all day, and that's fine. But I know who my Father is, and I know His angels are about to protect me. I've also seen demons, too. Well, I'll make sure some of that with you in just a little bit. Now, what I want to get into, and I've got to hurry right along here, that wherever that anointing was, as we talked about in verse 12, they were blessed. Wherever the ark was, they were blessed. So what we want is the anointing, right? Now I want you to look with me in Ephesians. I'm going to share a couple of quick points with you, and then we're going to get about some other business. Ephesians chapter 6 talks about the whole armor of God. Remember, we talked about the other night in Psalms 58 about the bite of the adder. And I told you that poison affected the eighth cranial nerve that caused deafness. There are people that have sat under excellent teaching but have not learned. They've sat there and been fed. They should be roly-poly fat, but they've not learned. They just, somehow or another, I don't know what happened to it. But it says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, methods, for we what? What is that word? Wrestle. W-R-E-S-T-L-E. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. but against powers and against rulers of darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Now, the point that I wanted to make was wrestle, W-R-E-S-T-L-E. How does a wrestler win? Pinning him down, bringing him into submission. He wears his opponent out. Is that not right? I want you to understand the difference in a champion and a loser is the champion gets up one more time than he's knocked down, and the loser gets knocked down one more time than he gets up. That's not a whole lot of difference, is it? There's only one letter difference in feast and fast. There's only one letter difference in word and world. Aren't we running kind of close? When God tells us to fast, we feast. When he says, take ye in the word, we take ye in the world. Only one letter was all we had to do to get there. We were real close, you see, almost, but we missed. So it says, for we wrestle not. I want to read something to you, Daniel 7:25. I can't even find it now. Daniel's got away from me. Daniel 7:25. Thank you, Doc. And 7's right after 6. I'll get there. God doesn't mind humor. Laughter is good medicine. If you're running short on laughs, take a look at me and have a big one. Daniel 7:25. And he shall speak great words against who? The Most High. And he shall wear out the saints. And he shall wear out the saints. And he shall wear out the saints. Isn't that amazing? And think to change times and laws, that they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. That wear out there is persecute. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against those powers that are mentioned in Ephesians. And how many times do we have problems, even in a church, where we begin to... We have problems in churches, too. I want you to hear me. One of the main areas in a church that is attacked is praise and worship. You know why? He enters in our presence through praise and worship. So if he can get dissension between praise and worship, and everybody on our praise and worship team are people. They're people. And they have characteristics and little quirks and things just like everybody else does. But they know one thing, that any kind of dissension or strife or division or upheaval in that praise and worship. Remember, I told you about Thursday night that the devil was at one time the praise and worship leader. And whenever you lead praise and worship, you're doing his job. And he gets jealous because he said, I've taken this away. I've deprived God of this. And God says, I see you at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp offering up praise and worship, and I shall come into your midst. And Satan says, I'll cause trouble in there. There'll be strife. There'll be division. There'll be contention. There'll be hatred. There'll be emulation. And as we talked about, that's in that anointing bag, and each one of those are holes, and that anointing leaks out if you allow it to come in. Now, you've got to stop it. I can't stop it for you. You've got to stop it. Now, those of you that are like I am, that were raised in the country, we got a bicycle once in a while, and we got the old monkey grip to fix the patches on those old tires, and we had a tire pump like that. And we had those tires would get a hole and they leaked the oil out and they stopped us from going anywhere. Now some of us, sir, got a thorn in them, didn't they? They sure did, brother. And I appreciate that. See if you got a copyright on that, I'm going to use it. They get a thorn in them and all the air comes out of them and it stops their mobility. But we had that old monkey grip, we could patch that tube and get it inflated again, we could travel. I want to tell you something, as you're moving with the Lord, when you get that hole in the anointing container and the anointing leaks out, you stop your mobility, amen? That's it, your part. Until you get it patched and get it refilled and get it refilled and get it refilled. And the best way to do that is to give and it shall be given. I think that giving and shall be given is for everything, not just money. And if you look in Genesis 26:1, it talks about that they sold in the time of famine. And in that same year, verse 12, they received a hundredfold return. Hallelujah! That's a law. It's right there in your book. It's in mine. If it's not in your Bible, I'll loan you mine. But it says that he sowed in a time of famine. And in that same year, he got a hundredfold return. return, in case you have to be guaranteed a return, there is one. But we need to sow. When you're sick, pray for somebody that's sick. When you're broke, give them something. Plant a seed and say, Father, I have cast this seed. The Bible says, cast your bread upon the waters, and after many days it shall return. I prophesy to you that when you cast your bread upon the waters, you need to be heading to the seashore to start wave checking. Show God you believe that it'll come back. Don't set up at your house and say, well, God, I sure hope it comes in, but that nobody told me. Get out there and look. Amen. You check the waves. The man at the gate, beautiful, was laying on that pallet, and it says that he turned to Peter and John, and he had a cup in his hand. You know, a beggar always just puts enough in there to let you know he hadn't had much luck, but not enough to, you know, so you won't think you're dumb for putting in there. But he wants you to know that he hadn't had enough luck to make it. So that we used to have a beggar that I used to watch. He never kept but 3 or 4 pennies in there, enough to make enough noise to get your attention, but not enough to make you think he'd had any luck that day. But there, you know, that's just a business principle. But you can see that beggar there, and he was shaking like that. And he turned to him and said, silver and gold have I none. They weren't telling him they didn't have any silver and gold. I don't believe that. I think they were saying, sir, for you, I don't have silver and gold. You don't need silver and gold. You need legs. Take up thy bed and walk. And he did that. And that's see, we kind of get our mind on silver and gold more than what we really, 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 really need. Amen. It's true. The truth will set you free now. Now, I want to share something else with you. I almost pulled the stone. I was looking for my glasses in. Guess where I found them? I found them on my big old long nose. That's all right. They tell me that's one thing that never stops growing. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Brother Glenn was talking last night. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah 51:11, therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. Amen. All of Zion is in Jerusalem, but all of Jerusalem isn't in Zion. Huh? It doesn't say they'll return to Jerusalem in that way. It says they'll return to Zion. Darlene was ministering one day, and she was talking about the bride and the bride, the entourage. That sounds good, doesn't it? Entourage. Darlene said there would be some that would be in the entourage that wouldn't be in the bride. And I thought that's very interesting. Sometimes she really makes me get in there and study. I do kind of like my brother there now. I go see where she's getting all this from. I go read her Bible. It's written just like mine. That's all right. Praise the Lord. See, she's in submission to me, so when I tell her, you better tell me where you got that girl. She has to tell me. Pull that old scripture on her. You can be in Jerusalem and not in Zion. I want my apartment in Zion. I do, Brother Glenn. I want it in Zion. I want it, and where it says, and they shall return, therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. Everlasting joy shall be on their head, upon their head, and they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee. That's what you get when you live in Zion. Hallelujah. And I want to take up permanent residence in Zion. Back to Ephesians chapter 4. Somebody needed that. That's the reason I put it there. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, 12, and 13. Now, what I'm talking about still goes back with the anointing now. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. For the perfecting of, who are y'all? Who am I? I'm saints too. For the perfecting of the saints, for what? The work of the ministry. Huh? For the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity. That's where we've got to get in unity. Look at Psalms 133:1. Psalm 133, verse 1. I'm kind of rushing through, but it's going to stick to your spirit. Amen? Because it'll come forth when you need it. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Amen. And when you hide his word in your heart, it'll come forth when you need it. Psalms 133, verse 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell in unity. But then it goes on. What does it say it's like? Oh, my goodness, it's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down on the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. You can find that in Exodus 29 and 30, where Aaron was anointed with oil to go in and do the ministry of priest. And each time, remember we talked about fresh oil Thursday night, and I said the church needed their oil changed, might as well get a grease job while they're at it too. Every time Aaron went in there, he had to be anointed with fresh oil. Now they compare unity here with that fresh oil. And that oil is with that anointing. Now when you put all that together, it's almost a sure shot. If you don't have unity, you don't have fresh oil, and you don't have the anointing. Darlene and I are very careful. Sometimes she doesn't do everything right. But I don't say nothing about it just before we're going to minister. No. I looked too. I didn't see nothing. I'm learning from Brother Glenn. Seriously, you can't have disunity between your wife and yourself and get up and minister effectively. You can't do that. And the enemy knows that if he can cause disunity between Darlene and I, if she's going to minister or if I'm going to minister, then he's got a pretty good segment of a victory right there. And if he can cause disunity in you on the way over here this morning, you'll be sitting there thinking about what you were fussing about, not what I'm saying.
Amen.
And on the way out, if somebody pulls out in front of you and you shake your fist at them, that just tore up the ground that the seed was planted in, and there's a little booger there to pick up the seed. And it's all gone too. We have to be mature. That is the job of the apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, and evangelists. It's the wrong order, but anyway, that's the job of them. And I told you the other night that when the prophet came on the scene, and when Elijah came on the scene, faith rose up in that lady that gave her last meal and last oil. Now, what we've done at the upper room, I pray that we've done this effectively, and I think we have. I go back to Ephesians chapter 4, and I wasn't paying attention to one of them, and shut my Bible. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the maturing or perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or building up of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of fullness. Now, I want to explain something to you about knowledge and understanding. Okay? How many of you ever seen the little white bathroom heaters, about that tall, and just go up like that? I asked the Lord, what was the difference in knowledge and understanding? And in my spirit, I saw a little baby about that big that could understand what you were saying to them, but that was still in the process of learning how to negotiate life. And that little baby started toward that heater, and his mother said, stay away from that. It's hot. It will burn you. And he turned around and he said, hot? She said, yes, hot. It'll burn you. Now, he had the knowledge. I mean, he said to her, hot. He had the knowledge. So she looked back in a few minutes and he was heading back over there again. She said, I said, stay away from that heater. It's hot. It'll burn you. And he said, hot? And she said, yes, it'll burn. She went on about her work. And in a minute, she heard, psst, ah! At that point, he understood. Hey, if it makes you feel like laughing, I want you to go ahead and laugh. But laughter is good medicine and get you a dose of it while you can. But I didn't say that to tickle you. I said that because it demonstrates the difference in knowing and understanding. Huh? There's an immaculate difference in the two. That you can know something and still not have understanding of it. And I want you to listen to me. Look at me. When there are people in the church that know this word, but they do not understand it. They know God, but they don't understand Him. Moses said the children of Israel knew His acts, but he knew His ways. Matter of fact, you quoted a scripture in Psalms that said that we were to know His ways. Teach us His ways. We've got to know His ways. So I say to you today that if you sat under apostles and the apostolic ministry is coming back, the prophetic ministry is coming back, and deception's already here. So be sure you stay close. I think it's 25 of the 27 books of the New Testament deal at some point in them with deception. Make another profound statement. Deception is very deceiving. You remember that. The reason I say, sir, you can just get a bad case of it and never know it. Remember we talked about that the other night, and I said if I could convince you, if I could deceive you into believing your car's not here, you'll walk home. Now when you think about it, I'm telling you the truth now. That's how effective deception is. So as you go, you sit under these people, and you're not sitting under a ministry just to have someone make you laugh, to have someone soothe your feathers, to have someone tickle your ears, because the ministry that's coming forth will burn your ears if they're not clean. Remember when your mother used to get a hold of you, come here, and she'd take that washcloth and wash your ears? Whew. But she didn't have to tell me. I could wash them from then on. See, I had knowledge my ears were dirty, but I didn't understand how to get them clean. She showed me. I figured out a better way. Now the Lord is going to clean some of our ears. He is. And if we don't keep them clean, if we want them clean, if we come before Him humbly, He'll clean them for you. Amen. So I'm telling you that if you sit under apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, or teachers, take in what they are putting out for you, rightly dividing, and when anyone ministers, and it's with me too. Say, it's with you, Brother David. Well, half of you believe it. It's like eating fish. How many of you eat fish? What do? You eat the meat, spit out the bone. I'm serious. That's with anybody. That's with anybody. That's with anybody. The thing that thrilled me, Brother Glenn, was when I found out that the people at the deliverance camp went through deliverance.
Oh, they don't meet.
Oh, really? How about... Just every day? Oh, y'all got it down on just a daily basis. That shocked me when I found that the people at the deliverance camp went through deliverance. And in a minute, I'll tell you how I found out about Lake Hampton and how I found out that they did that. Well, see, that really impressed me because I have things, and I break that spirit of religious pride, too. I curse that thing at the root, and I command it to wither and to die. And guess where I command it to wither and die on first? On me first. You see, if I'm checking your pantry for bad vegetables, I may have a house that's rotting down. I've got to check David. That's the one. You know, when if you believe in standing before the Lord in judgment, guess what? I'm going to be standing there for me. And I can't say, oh, but Lord, she said I could do that. You say you knew better. I said, the great I am said. So. In lieu of that, now I want you to remember that as you sit, you're being trained, you're sitting under ministry for these reasons, for the perfecting or for your maturity, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, so we can come together in unity. Until we come in unity, this work's going to keep going on. Amen. Now, I've got to close this part of it, and I want to, because I probably won't be ministering again, I don't know, but I'm assuming this is my last shot at you, so I'm going to reveal some human side to you. In 1977, Darlene and I were living in Houston, Texas, and I made a statement to her. I was doing all I knew to do with what I had. And it seemed like the faster I went, the behinder I got. I see some of you can identify with that. I had holes in my money bag. I had holes in the anointing bag. I knew about God, but I really, as I said the other night, I believed what I believed because I was told I believed it. I had my own Bible tradition. That's exactly, Brother Glenn. They built me a tradition box, and I fit into it like a glove. And you know why you don't get fed much when you're in a tradition box? You'll outgrow it. And when you outgrow it, that old spirit of Michael jumps up and despises you. You're out of your box. What do you mean? You saw this in the Word. You read it in the Sunday school book. Now, I'm not being ugly now, but I've had people argue with me about the Word on the basis of their Sunday school book.
Amen.
That hurts my feelings. Those were, quote, mature people. If you don't take it out of that book, if you got to take it out of your Sunday school book, you're not a mature person. You check that Sunday school book against the Bible. Amen. Now, I'm not saying... Yes, all the other books, too. Yeah, we might as well get the gamut on them, hadn't we? And tapes, too. You know, we talked the other night, you can't walk in another man's anointing. You got to do what God tells you to do. And one thing He tells you to do is respect authority, too. Huh?
Even though authority is wrong.
It doesn't say right authority. It says respect authority. Yes, sir. Now, When we were living in Houston, Texas, I made the statement to Darlene. I said, Darlene, because I was making good money. Well, I've never made any bad money. I'll have to confess that to you. Money does talk. Says bye-bye. That's about all it's ever said to me. I was making good money. And I made this statement one day. You know, sometimes we say things that just really make good sense, and it astounds us. Yeah, really. You say things in your spirit says, that's a truth. That's a pearl of wisdom to wear on your necklace of knowledge. Now pick it up, put it on it, and wear it. And I told Darlene, I said, hey, look, it seemed like we're under a curse. And I had no earthly idea of what I said. I said that word, and like I told you the other day, I thought cursing was cussing. And if it, you know, I'm admitting that to you because some of you may be sitting there thinking, if someone had told me that Shimei was cursing David as he left, not cussing David as he left, it would have made a tremendous difference in my life. I knew about that scripture, but deception was so deceiving. He that hath ear, let him hear. And I told Darlene, I said, it seemed like we're under a curse. Or that we're cursed. And I said, I didn't know what I was saying. But I knew I'd said something that made sense. And that happens from time to time. That I say things that really do, they're really profound. So we moved to Monroe, Louisiana. And I changed jobs. God made a way. And we were crying out for truth. Truth. How many of you enjoy taking a shot at the doctor's office? No. But if you take that inoculation has authority over that infection in your body. Now, sometimes the Word will give you a shot in the spirit that may sting you, but that Holy Ghost serum takes authority over that anemia in your body. It builds your bloodstream up spiritually where you can understand, where you can stand in the day of trials and tribulation because you've had that shot of that strength that you need to stand and you know it's true. So I knew that we had been cursed somewhere or another. I didn't know what I was talking about. I took another job, and lo and behold, I got put into a place, and I was working between two people in witchcraft. And to me, witchcraft had no more meaning to me than needlecraft does. I'm just being honest with you. Listen. They were eating my lunch, and I didn't know it. I was just going to work getting annihilated. And I don't usually share this, but I'm going to. I went home one night. And I don't know what happened. I'm going to try to explain to you what happened, because if I did, you know, I'd run out of the truth and keep talking. So I'm not even going to try. But there was a being, a presence. And I used to wrestle for amateur athletes union, and I knew enough about it to get out of holes. But there was a being that literally physically attacked me. How many of you can identify with that? Physically attacked me. And I know this goes against some tradition, but right then, I'm going to tell you what. I'm not interested in tradition. I had something on me, physically on me, that had my arms across like this and pinned down across my throat, and I didn't even know enough to say Jesus. That's all I had to say was Jesus, and I believe it would have left. But I didn't know to say that. Darlene came in there. She was frantic. She had a Pentecostal background, and I'd been to church all my life. And she knew to intercede and to pray. And she walked over to me to say something, and I've never knowingly struck my wife, except that one time. Well, I didn't knowingly strike her then. I kicked her. I drop kicked her like a football. And she decided she could intercede somewhere else. The last time I saw Darlene, she said, Father. And she went to praying elsewhere. I fought that thing all night. And she kept me alive. A witchcraft spirit can be strong. One of those ladies from me down in New Orleans. She knew what she was doing. And that thing kept me pinned all night. And at daylight, we prayed through, broke through, whatever. And our pastor came over, and she, the pastor's wife was there early that morning. She said, were y'all all right? Man, you could have took one look at me and tell I wasn't all right. You know, I was wrung out, fought all night. They had been thrown out of bed at 2 o'clock to begin to intercede for us that night. That's how I survived. That's how I survived. I was convinced then that there was something else. We moved to Monroe, Louisiana, and I went out to the mailbox one day, and there was a little magazine in there that says, Voices from His Excellent Glory. I saw it, and I said, where'd you get this? It had my name on it. She said, oh, it came in the mail. So I was impressed with it, and I sat down and started reading it. And I started reading about things that explained what I'd been through and had no idea what I'd been through. I said, hey,
These folks have got the number that I've been dealing with. And I ordered a set of 12 tapes from y'all, and I still got those tapes. I still go back and listen to them. I was given information. And lo and behold, how many of you know that the same as the widow that Elijah went to, that after she had exercised her faith and given that barrel of meal and that bit of oil, that her son died, her faith was tested in the man of God. My faith was tested. Booger came back. They sent some little ones. But I then had understanding. Through those tapes, I had gained understanding of it. And I put him on the road that time. Then of August of 1986, I was sitting in a paper mill, sitting in a little house out there. We were making floral print tissue paper. And I looked up over my machine, and there was an angel. And I'm telling you, it took all I could do to understand what I was looking at. He was translucent. I could see the roof of the mill through it. And I want to tell you, there was a peace and a presence there. And I prayed, and I got his name. I even know his name. Praise the Lord. I don't worship him. I want you to understand. But I sure do worship the man that gave him orders to come let me know he was there. I called Darlene long distance, and I was sitting there looking at that angel, and the machine was just running. They're just going. I don't guess they knew there's a machine there. I called Darlene, and I said, honey, it was 2 o'clock. I was working graveyard, and she answered the phone her usually chipper way. Hello. I said, you're not going to believe what I'm doing. I think she wanted to tell me she didn't care what I was doing. I said, honey, I'm sitting here looking at an angel. She said, what? And I described him to her. Which incidentally, I talked to a lady in Charlotte, North Carolina 3 weeks ago, and she described a very same being to me. So anyway, I was trying to tell Darlene about that angel. And I told her, I said, well, I got to go. I was going to hang the phone up, and I missed the cradle that the phone hung up in. And I looked up to put that phone in that cradle, and I missed it. And when I looked back, he was gone. I've not seen him again, but I bet he's there. I don't have to see him. How many of you know your name? That's in your knower. No matter how many times I ask you, you're going to tell me the same thing. I got that in my knower. It don't matter what you say to me, I got it in my knower. And everything that God gives you, you put it in your knower. That's hiding it in your heart. You hear me? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Thy word have I put in my knower that I might not sin against thee, because I know, I know, I know, I know, I know, and then I know some more that's true. And nobody shake you on it. So we went home, and got Darlene all hyped up about that angel again. He sure was pretty. I went back on that machine, and 3 weeks later, my toe began to drag when I walked like that. And I wouldn't say anything. I'd start to operate the machine, and I'd reach for it. My hand would do like that. And then I would touch it, and I couldn't feel it. 2 weeks later, I was standing on that high machine. There was ground rods sticking up out of the floor behind me. There was machinery to my left. Just in front of me was a giant roll of paper turning at about 40 miles an hour. And to the other side of me was a chain guard, protective instrument there on some belts. And I lost the use of my left side, just like that. Doc, you understand multiple sclerosis. This side of my body went out, but I fell this way. Had I fallen that way, I would have fallen on the machine. Had I fallen forward, I would have fallen into the roll of paper. Had I fallen back, I would have been pierced by the ground rod. But I hit that chain guard, and I went down just as gently as a lamb, just down to that floor. I called my boss and said, I got to go home. I've shorted out somehow. When I started home, I had to stop and get gas. And it progressed so quickly. I drove 30 miles home, and I stopped to get gasoline. And I went to the gas pump, and I had my old car sitting there, and I was like a drunk man. I was just stumbling like that. And I got the gas pump, and I went over to the car like that, and I couldn't get it in there. And you know, there were people standing next door looking at me, and not a man said, can I help you? Are you drunk? Are you crazy? Are you sick? Are you something? They all stood there like, let the dope do it on his own. They were too busy about their business. I got my gas in, and when I got home, I crawled in. And we got the test results and all that stuff. I was laying in the hospital, and I couldn't feel things. It's pretty bad when you tell your arm to do something. Later on, it decides to do it. Really, you try to send a message to it, and it doesn't react. And I wonder if the body of Christ doesn't have multiple sclerosis sometimes. If the brain, the father, the mind doesn't tell the body of Christ to do something, somewhere later on, they decide to do it, and it's all out of time. It's all out of sync. It's all for no purpose. We've got to have a healing in the body of Christ. Now, to make a long story short, I laid on my couch. It got to where I couldn't walk, and I went up to the hospital in Little Rock, and they were giving me good reports. You're not going to make it, you know. This is going to progress. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. And all of a sudden, there was a little doctor that was trained. I was laying on my bed. Probably had a case of mully grub or something. And that little doctor walked around that door, and she looked at me, and she said, "Mr. Akers, I believe God's going to heal you." And I started to say, "Ma'am, did I understand that you work here? You understand your colleagues are not telling me this?" I didn't say anything. I was awed. I accepted what she said. I went home, and people came by the house for me to pray for them when I couldn't walk. I told Darlene, "This is smart. This is really good." But they got healed. One lady came by and touched my arm. She said, "It's so soft." She said, "It's like velvet. That when they squeeze it, they're going to find it's got steel under there." And I've held on to that word. I want to be tender. I want to be loving. I want to be so humble. I'm not talking about false humility, man. That makes God sick. It nauseates me and you too. I want to be humble before my God and my Father. And I want to see people healed. I want to plant my... Hey, I'll tell you about seed in time of famine. You hear what I'm saying? I couldn't walk, and I planted my seed during time of famine in my body. We think only of planting seed in finance. Then we use God like a stock market. God, I give 10 up front, I want a grand at the back. My Father doesn't work like that. He's not the roulette table that you place a bet on. He is someone that you say, "God, it's all yours. I give it all back to you if that's what you want. I didn't have breath until you breathed breath into my nostrils. I'm breathing in my hands until you said I did." And yet we try to bargain with God. "Well, God, if you do this, I'll do that." Lawyer in Freeport stood up in the boat and rebuked God and fell dead. Lightning took him, I think. Now, say that to say this. Our ministry team, every one of these people over here, are with me because they know when something goes wrong with me when I minister. They know when I hit a snag. They know when something happens and I can't breathe. They know when I lose my train of thought. They know that my healing is a walk. I call things that be not as though they were. I don't call things that are as though they weren't. That's Christian science. I can touch my nose now. I can put my fingers together. Now, I sit and play the piano from time to time. I might not be as fast and accurate as I used to be, but I just thank God I can do it. So these people have sat under the ministry, and we go places together. When we closed our church of 200 down and went home on the instruction of the Lord, I want to tell you something. When they built Jericho and it was destroyed, and God said, "Don't build it back. Be the man that builds Jericho." You can find it in your Bible. It's in mine. "And the man that built it cost his two sons." There are some things God brings down and he says, "Don't bring them back up." And the upper room, the original upper room, ministries was that away. He said, "We're through with this. It's coming down. I'm moving you into a new thing." I said, "Let's go, God." Now, not everything is news of God. I want you to understand that. And we went home. We said, "God, send us people home for the upper room ministry. I'm not going to pick it up and call. I want you to speak to their heart. Send the anointing. Send the Holy Ghost." 1 John 2:12 said, "I would that not any man teach, but you be taught by the Holy Ghost. He'll lead you in all things and show you all things, even those things to come." And if you got people on your ministry team, you better let God send them to you. God places the solitary families in the rebellious well in a dry land. He sent this ministry team to us. They may not look like what you want them to look like. They may not act like or whatever. Hey, I don't have a choice to judge them. But I do have a commandment to love them. They have a commandment to love me. And each one of them are anointed. Each one of them are called. Each one of them are for one reason. For the maturity of the saints. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Together in unity. Then would you sing that song we sung last night? I'm going to ask our ministry team that's with me. I'm really angry at the enemy. John, the book of John, where it said, Jesus said, "I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, but the thief has come to kill, to steal, and to destroy." I might not be as fluid as I used to be, but I've got life abundantly. The enemy might steal my leg from a joy. He might steal my ability to touch my nose, but he can't steal my joy. He might steal things from me, but I want to tell you what, there's God's raising up a repossession team too. Hallelujah. Going to go back. The Bible says he rent my soul when there was none to deliver. Says that two times. Anytime God told you something twice in the Bible, he meant for you to hear it. And there are people being raised up to help restore that the enemy, the cancer, the caterpillar, stole. And there are some things that are progressive. Amen. We have the walk of faith, walking in the Spirit, and sometimes we can walk out a healing. Listen to me, sometimes you have to remind your body that it's healed. There's nothing wrong with that. How many of you have had to be reminded of, don't you get a light bill every month? If you don't pay it, you get another one. They remind you haven't paid. So sometimes you have to remind your body that it's healed. As our team comes, those that feel led of God to do so, we want to pray for you. I don't care what your need is, because my God can handle it. I'm standing here in front of you, and I'm here because of the grace of God. I'm here because the enemy came to steal something, and my Father gave it back. I'm here. I'm at Lake Hamilton because God says for me to be here. I'm here to speak the word that he gave me to speak. You see, I can't worry about the, I want to do as well as I can because I want you to be pleased. I want you to be fed. I want you to be happy with me. I don't want to disappoint you. But if God tells me to get up and stand on my head, that's what I'm going to do. Because he's, and I don't know that I stand on my head, but he's got a reason. You see, obedience is more to be desired than sacrifice. But we want to pray for you. Don't you, Karen? Yeah. And y'all feel led. And I'm going to, remember I told you that this is a nitroglycerin bottle, heart medicine. We got anointing oil in it. Some of us need healing in our hearts. If you can dare to believe, when you were a little kid, you asked your daddy if you could have a red bicycle for Christmas. How many of you went to school and didn't say a word about it? When your daddy said, I'll give you that red bicycle for Christmas, you went to school and didn't say a word. No, you didn't. You told Johnny, Mary, Susie, Billy, Bobby, Jack, the whole bunch of them, I'm getting a red bicycle for Christmas. And if you didn't walk out, you'd add mud flaps and everything else to it that daddy hadn't even told you. He says, by my stripes, you're healed. He says, I would above all that you would prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. There's a condition to it, amen. Some of us don't want our soul to prosper. We just want to prosper and be in health. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things unto you. And a lot of us want to seek ye first these things and ask God to add his righteousness and kingdom to it. We've got our wires crossed. It's whenever we pray, we are only conduit through which flows living water. Hallelujah. There's wires hooked to this light right here. They're not the source. They're the conductor that brings the electricity to it. See, we try to think that God's trying to make something too hard for us to be a generator. He just asked you to be a wire. Something through which his anointing can flow. Something through which healing virtue can flow. Something through which deliverance can flow. So come on. If you need prayer, anyone that feels... those of you that you want to come down here and anoint people with oil and pray for them, please do so. Our Father doesn't mind. And I'm not one given to rigidity. Is the baby here? Yeah, let's sing Hallelujah and Holy Spirit in a moment. I want to do that special song for you. Let's just welcome the Holy Spirit, the healer.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.